Radio Prague News. The Supreme Court has upheld 20 and 22-year sentences for the 2009 arson attack against a Romani family. The Justice Ministry is planning to establish a centralized registry of minor offenses. And analysts and trade organizations approached by the CTK news agency predict that the unemployment rate in the Czech Republic next year might exceed 10%. The Czech Republic's Supreme Court has rejected a complaint by four men who in 2009 firebombed a Romani home and upheld their sentences of 20 and 22 years in jail, a spokesman for the court said on Wednesday. The four arsonists threw a Molotov cocktail into a house in the village of Vítkov in the north of the country, inhabited by a Romani family. A two-year-old girl suffered severe burns in the attack and has since had to undergo a series of operations. The court rejected the appeal as obviously unsubstantiated, the spokesman said. The Justice Ministry is planning to establish a centralized registry of minor offenses to boost the fight against petty crime, Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil told reporters on Wednesday. The ministry proposes that people who repeatedly commit minor offenses should receive tougher punishment. Mr. Pospíšil said efficient prosecution of minor offenses was impossible without the existence of some kind of public record of offenses and sanctions. He added that the existing registries serve only as statistics. The Justice Minister is now submitting his proposal to the government for discussion. If approved, it could come into effect in mid-2013. Analysts and trade organizations approached by the CTK news agency predict that the unemployment rate in the Czech Republic next year might exceed 10%. That is 2% more than official unemployment figures released by the Labour Ministry in November. The construction industry, employing some 400,000 people, is expected to be the worst affected. According to an optimistic scenario suggested by most respondents, the average unemployment rate will be around 9% and only exceed the 10% level in certain months. However, should the problems in the Eurozone intensify, firms might effect more layoffs. Police will probe the Czech Communist Party chairman's condolence to North Korean communists on the death of the dictator Kim Jong-il, the Daily Pravo reported on Wednesday, quoting a police spokeswoman. Czech Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil said the authorities should determine whether Vojtěch Filip, the head of the Communist Party of Bohemia and Moravia, broke the law by expressing sympathies to the late North Korean leader. In his letter of condolence, Mr. Vojtěch Filip said Kim Jong-il sacrificed himself for the well-being of the people of North Korea, adding he believed the North Korean Communist Party would continue leading the heroic struggle for the defense of socialism. If convicted of breaching the Czech law prohibiting support for totalitarian movements and regimes, the Czech communist leader would face up to 3 years in jail. A new poll carried out by the STEM agency suggests that 69% of Czechs believe the state should not return property seized by the communist regime to churches. The government is currently working on a church property law, but it has yet to be approved by ministers for the Public Affairs Party. The government has agreed to pay 59 billion crowns to churches in a period of 30 years. Including inflation, the amount could reach up to 96 billion crowns. The churches are also to be returned 56% of their property seized by the communist regime. By 2030, churches should also gradually stop receiving money from the state. And finally, a quick look at the weather. The coming days should be partly cloudy to overcast, with daytime temperatures reaching highs of 4 degrees Celsius. I'm Pavla Horáková, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's show, did the Communist Party break the law in its wording of a condolence letter to North Korea? And the price of a bureaucratic goof. The Czech Republic stands to lose billions of crowns. In Spotlight, we'll take you to Lucerna Palace in Prague, the site of last week's memorial concert for the late Václav Havel. And we'll end, as usual, with a Czech lesson. Stay with us. The The police is to investigate whether the Czech Communist Party leader broke the law in his wording of a condolence letter sent on the death of the North Korean leader Kim Jong-il. What has raised the ire of many is that in the letter, Communist Party leader Wojciech Filip says, among other things, that the late North Korean dictator had sacrificed himself for the well-being of his people. Jan Richter has the story.
Thousands of people lined the streets of the North Korean capital Pyongyang on Wednesday to salute their late leader Kim Jong-il, who passed away earlier this month. It was not apparent from the footage whether the people, who appear to be deeply stricken with sorrow, truly mourned the death of the dictator, under whose rule millions of North Koreans perished in labor camps, while scores of others died of hunger. Among those who expressed grief over the demise of the deal leader was also the head of the Czech Communist Party, Wojciech Filip. In his letter of condolence, Mr. Filip said Kim Jong-il sacrificed himself for the well-being of the Korean people, adding he hoped the ruling Workers' Party of Korea would overcome its grief and would again lead the Korean people's struggle for the defense of socialism. Mr. Filip's condolences sparked controversy back home. Charges have been pressed against the Czech communist leader by a member of a right-wing group, while a spokeswoman for the Czech police said on Wednesday they would look into the matter to determine whether Mr. Filip broke the law. According to the Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil, who called for the probe, the Communist Party chair might have breached the law by expressing sympathy for the North Korean regime.
The Czech Penal Code also applies to endorsing movements that oppress human rights and freedoms. If someone sends such condolences endorsing the totalitarian regime in North Korea, it could be in breach of the law, but only the courts can ultimately decide whether any activity is criminal or not.
Wojciech Filip has dismissed the claims. As the Czech Republic maintains standard diplomatic ties with North Korea, Mr. Filip said it was appropriate to express sympathy on the death of the country's leader. For his part, member of the European Parliament for the Czech Communist Party, Miloslav Ransdorf, says the note of condolence was a mere formality.
Such a position of Czech police and Minister of Justice, Mr. Pospíšil, is absurd, because such a note of condolence was sent also by South Korean authorities appreciated the role of Kim Jong-il in the peace process in the Korean Peninsula. And also in the United Nations organization, there was a minute of silence in honor of Kim Jong-il. This note of condolence from Mr. Filip was only a formal letter, which is not exceeding, I would say, a formal position in such situation.
However, the debate whether or not the leader of Czech communists should be prosecuted because of his condolences to the North Korean comrades is largely academic. As a member of parliament, Wojciech Filip enjoys parliamentary immunity, which means it would be impossible to prosecute him on such political charges that could otherwise earn him up to 3 years in prison.
Jan Richter with that report. Moving on now, what appears to be gross bureaucratic incompetence may cost the Czech Republic billions of crowns. The country's belated bid to become a party in the ongoing criminal case against the former managers of the Czech mining firm Mostecká uhelná, involving billions of crowns now frozen in Swiss bank accounts, has been thrown out by a Swiss court, leaving the Czechs out in the cold. Now, the fact that the country's administration is slow and cumbersome is common knowledge, but rarely is the price of bureaucratic incompetence so staggering. The country's failure to respond to a Swiss offer for the Czech Republic to be a party to the case has dimmed its hopes of ever seeing a substantial part of the 12 billion crowns which were reportedly siphoned off from the Czech company. The Swiss court ruled last week that in view of the circumstances, it was inadmissible for the Czech Republic to be a plaintiff in the criminal proceedings. Although the Czech authorities have 10 days to appeal the verdict, Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek made it clear on Tuesday he was not holding out much hope.
Proti tomuto rozhodnutí se ještě odvoláme, nicméně ty šance.
We are going to appeal the court verdict even though we know the chances of succeeding are slim. We feel it is important to use all the options open to us. But our main efforts are aimed at being part of the civil proceedings. That is the only real option for the Czech Republic now, and that is the course we are following.
Switzerland began a probe into the case in 2005 on suspicion that the mining company's directors were embezzling huge sums of money, some of which were being transferred to Swiss accounts within an extensive money laundering scheme. Six Czechs and one Belgian citizen have been charged with money laundering, and around 600 million Swiss francs were frozen in close to 100 bank accounts. The Swiss authorities say they approached the Czech side about the case as early as 2006 and were sent from one institution to another in a vain attempt to elicit cooperation. In Prague, the Czech Finance Ministry and the Public Prosecutor's Office are pointing accusing fingers at each other and squabbling over which institution should rightly have responded to the case. Two officials from the Public Prosecutor's Office have been sacked for sleeping on the job, and although the Czech Finance Minister tried to make light of the matter, it is clear that Czech participation in these civil proceedings will be much more costly and much less advantageous than if the country had been in the role of a plaintiff. At a time of belt tightening and fears of a new recession in Europe, this is a goof that the public will find it hard to understand or forgive, not to mention the embarrassing fact that it was left to the Swiss authorities to uncover and tackle a big corruption case in the Czech Republic. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now, in this edition of Spotlight, we take you to Prague's Lucerna Palace, the site of last week's memorial concert for the late Václav Havel. The feature was produced by James Scanlon.
Walking through the main skylit concourse, past the incongruous mixture of shops, coffee houses, cinema and music halls, you get a great sense of being time-locked somewhere between the prosperous cessation period and the modernist styles of the First World War era. But not only did Havel, the grandfather of ex-president Václav Havel, take inspiration from his travels around Europe, he looked to America as well, as local historian Richard Beagle from Charles University explains.
You know, you can find many styles in the decoration of exterior or interior of this palace, but in general, this is a modern building with concrete construction, with the decoration of a little Art Nouveau of style of Vienne, and you can find also the motifs of neo-baroque or historicism. But in general, it's a great synthesis. Who were, I think, inspired of the cinema world of the Hollywood of the beginning of this century. Because Václav Havel was great admirer of American cinema, and the founder, the family Havel was founder of great cinema ateliers on the Barrandov Hill. And because of that, I think you can see interior and the whole conception of Lucerna like a great culture and business and entertainment complex, like a realization of some dream inspired by America.
Kino Lucerna was the first modern permanent cinema in Bohemia, and it became known as the Grand Dame for its salubrious interior. And it was here that the first Czech talkie, Obrazni Fedice Pištory, was screened in 1931. Soon, Lucerna had become the hub of all social and cultural life in Prague. And throughout the years, many famous people like Louis Armstrong, Ella Fitzgerald, Josephine Baker and Vlas Deborian performed here. According to Richard Beagle, it was all very significant.
Yes, in the 60s and 70s, many interesting personalities were concerned in Lucerna. For example, Louis Armstrong, Ella Fitzgerald and the others. It was very symbolic when, in the time of communism, personality, some symbols of free world, of America, concerted there. And I think it had to be very, very strong like experience also for them. For example, Armstrong was so touched with the atmosphere of Lucerna and Prague that he continued to theater of called Semaphore, where he improvised with the musicians.
Having fallen into disrepair during 40 years of oppressive communist rule, the Lucerna was finally handed back to the Havel family in 1991. Neither Václav Havel, or for that matter his brother Ivan, were particularly keen to accept their inheritance, as only a few years earlier the building had been declared to have been in a catastrophic state and on the verge of collapse. Ivan's wife, Dagmar, however, still felt it had a future and managed to persuade her husband to hand over his 50% share to her. Václav eventually decided to sell his share to the controversial Chemipol Reality Group. Yet despite these problems, according to Dagmar, the Lucerna is just as important now as ever before.
Lucerna Palais is very, very important as a national heritage, mostly for the people connected to Prague, because this was, for many years, it was the only space where the important big concert or dancing could be. So most of the people, old or middle generation, are connected to Palais. They have a meeting here, they met the girlfriends, so Lucerna certainly is in their heart. For young generation, it is still with the Lucerna Music Hall, where many important concerts take place.
Despite the need for renovation, Dagmar Havlova believes Lucerna's charm extends way beyond the bricks and mortar.
Lucerna has a special spirit. Lucerna is not important by the architecture or by something which can be explained scientifically. It is really spirit of the building, spirit of the space, spirit of the people who like it.
A statue designed by contemporary artist David Czerny of St. Wenceslas, sitting on the belly of a decidedly dead horse, never fails to grab plenty of attention from passers-by. Dagmar Havlova again.
Lucerna is one of the most important tourist points because of the statue of St. Wenceslas on the dead horse is placed. So it is one of the most important tourist points. Everybody take a picture.
What is so fascinating about the upside-down horse? Why are people so interested in taking photographs and talking about it?
I think that it is difficult to say in words. It is something which people feel. I have an agreement with the author that we have this horse till until certain time, which is limited by time when the Czech will be monarchy. Because we feel that now, actually, with this funny democratic system, everything is upside down.
So you think everything is upside down in the Czech Republic?
I think yes.
It's now 100 years since the foundation stone was laid here. What would you say have been the most important events in Lucerna's history so far?
I cannot say that some special event was most important. There are plenty of events nearly every day, and it is difficult. I am not able to compare.
In 1991, the building was handed back to the Havel family. What was the situation like back then?
As I said, everything is upside down. Even the family was not able to make a clear decision. And Emma around the Václav was many, many advisors. So finally, it happened that up to now is not clear about the future of the Lucerna. This year we celebrate 100 years of the building, but we can mention, not celebrate, 10 years from the time when Václav sell his half to very controversial company Chemapol, which make to Lucerna big problems, and up to now the ownership is not solved. I hope that it not influence Lucerna for a long time. situation is that my company operate the Lucerna without any problems, so Lucerna is full of life. Only problem is that while ownership is not solved, we cannot have a significant loan from the bank to start the big reconstruction. But we do partly improvement and Lucerna is fine.
So what would you like to see happen in the future? Does it need to have a lot of reconstruction?
Yes, Lucerna needs the reconstruction to modernize technology mainly, not to rebuild the halls. The halls will be just technologically improved and the air condition and so on and so on. The new plan is to have restaurant on the roof, because the roofs are not open to the public now. There are terraces, beautiful terraces, and I think it will be wonderful to have green terraces with the nice restaurant on the roof.
Edition of Spotlight on Prague's famous Lucerna Palace was prepared and presented by James Scanlon. It was first aired in November of 2007. And now on Radio Prague, it's time to brush up your Czech. And today's lesson is with Ruth Frankova. Hello and welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, Radio Prague's Czech language series in which you can learn idioms through song lyrics. I guess it's high time to check out a few idioms connected with the winter time. We'll be listening to a song with a very fitting title indeed, Zima or Winter. In the first two lines of the song, the singer Jiří Schellinger explains that Madam Winter, or Paní Zima, has arrived a bit earlier this year with jíní, or frost, in her hair and sníh, or snow, under her feet. As a result, everybody starts to feel really cold. Note that Czechs use the same word for winter and for being cold. Jemi zima means I am cold, whereas je zima means it is winter. Have another listen. In the following lines, the singer continues with his description of the freezing weather. It is so cold, he says, that frost gets behind his nails, mráz zanechty leze, and it chills, zebe, even though he's wearing 5 sweaters. Another common way of expressing that it is freezing cold is the idiom mrzne až praští. It means that the weather is so cold that everything feels like cracking. There is also a phrase je zima jako v Rusku, which simply means it is as cold as in Russia. Já na tebe čekám, bloumám ulicí, odstoupil můj nosí, rampou zářící, mrznou moje slzy, zvoní ochotní. As the singer wanders the streets waiting for his lover, an icicle or rampouch forms on his nose and the tears in his eyes turns into ice drops. If she doesn't come soon, he himself might soon be zmrzlý jako rampouch, frozen as an icicle. We also use the phrase zmrzlý až na kost, which is an equivalent of the English phrase cold to the bones. And I'm afraid that is all we have time for today. Thank you for listening and naschledanou in some warmer season.
Frankova with that edition of Soundcheck, and I'm afraid it's brought us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for listening, and do join us again soon.